afternoon. Not good morning. We had a good morning. Okay. Hope everyone had a good week. And we're blessed of the Lord, and we're a blessing to the Lord. That would be wonderful. I know I was extremely blessed this week in many different ways. And today I'm extremely blessed because I have three of my six grandsons here. That makes me very, very happy.
Amen.
Now, we've been looking at this subject of marriage. I wish I could say, you know, there's only a couple of verses on it in the whole Bible, but everywhere I turn, it just seems like God is showing marriage, 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 marriage. Lord, when is this going to end? And you guys are probably thinking, when is this going to end, Lord? Oh, well. Anyways. I want to look at a verse. We're going to look at a lot of verses, but the first verse I want to look at is in Ecclesiastes. You know, and sometimes Ecclesiastes can be pretty sarcastic and downtrodden. Hopefully that's not the case when I read this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to read from the King James first, and then the NIV second. Verse 9, the first part, says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life." The NIV says, "Enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life." Sometimes I'd like to take that little preacher and say, "Hey, man, this isn't right." Life isn't meaningless. But how are we all doing with that? Okay, well, if you're not married, obviously, that question doesn't apply. But how are you all doing with that? How are we all doing with that in our lives? Are we, as husbands, enjoying life with our wives? I'll tell you what, I don't really want you to stand up and tell me, but you need to think about it. And then, in reverse, a wife here, how are you enjoying life with your husband? I'm not seeing too many sad faces. That's a good thing. And then there's those that aren't married. And when you do get married, if you're a man, we want you to enjoy life with your wife all your days. And if you're a woman, we want you, when you get married to your husband, to enjoy all your days with your husband. Now, I've been married, actually it's not 40 years, it's almost 40 years. And I can tell you, in my relationship, it hasn't been every day that I've enjoyed life with my wife. And it hasn't been every day that my wife has enjoyed life with me. And I'm probably more of a bear than she'll ever be. So for her to have made it 40 years with me is a blessing for me, and it only proves that she's an amazing wife. There are four words for love in the Bible. Agape, philia, storge, and eros. And the one that we're mainly going to look at is agape. Unconditional love, whether the love is given in return or not. A person continues to love, even without self-benefiting. My wife and I were out for dinner last night. Through a company that I purchased a lot of materials from, and there was a lot of people there. And on the way there, and even while we were there a little early. I said to her, I said to Karen, I said, what do you think is crucial for a happy marriage? And so between the two of us, we came up with a list, and even this morning on the way down here, we were talking about it a little bit, and here's our list. One is commitment. You got to be committed. If you think it's going to be for a short time, that's probably all it's going to be. But if you make that commitment before God and before witnesses, that is lifelong, then that's a commitment that is going to be lifelong. The second thing is trust and trustworthiness. You have to trust each other. But you just don't randomly trust and say, oh, I trust you no matter what, and there you go, and then you can do whatever you want because I trust you. That's not how marriage works. You have to be trustworthy. You have to be worthy of being trusted. And so that should be our aim as husbands and wives, that we're worthy in what we do and how we act and what we say in our commitment to each other. Another thing that we came up, there's six things, so don't worry, it's not an endless list. Forgiveness. You know, sometimes it's not enough to just say sorry, but sorry is crucial in a marriage. But forgiveness. Look, I know what she did was wrong. I know what she said to me was wrong. But I love her anyway, and I forgive her. Or vice versa. Another thing that we came up with was communication. Talking, not arguing. You talk about things. You discuss things. What are your goals? What are your plans? How do you want to raise the kids? And where are your kids at now? And how do you want to school them? And what's your goal for your children? And what's your goal for your life? And how are we as believers serving the Lord? Communication. Sometimes it's a matter of what kind of vehicle do we want to purchase? And the answer might be, you can't afford a vehicle. So you're not going to purchase anything. But sometimes it's always nice to walk. But then you can get into covetousness, and we're not going to go there. Okay, so communication. Then there's two others that are closely tied. One is consideration. You consider the other person's thoughts. You consider the other person's feelings. Would you like to go out for dinner tonight? I don't think I've ever heard no. Sure. Where would you like to go? Doesn't matter. Long way going. But consideration, consideration is just, in regards to the supper, is just a very simple thing. But consideration about decisions, consideration about everything. Consideration about how does your wife feel when you come home from work. Consideration about how is your husband feeling when he comes home from work. You know, marriage is considering one another and putting one another before yourself. And so if you think you're going to get into a marriage relationship and life is going to be wonderful, you know, God wants us to have a wonderful marriage relationship. But it's about giving, not getting. And that's where we make the mistake. What am I going to get out of this? I'll tell you what, if you go into a marriage relationship with what am I going to get instead of what am I going to give, you're going to have a hard time. And then the last thing that's on our list, and this might surprise you, but it's crucial. Politeness. You know, since we've been discussing this, I noticed this morning, I went to step somewhere, and my wife stepped in front of me. She backed off, and she said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought, wow, that's exactly what you and I were discussing last night. Politeness. And I've noticed different times, not just last night or this morning, different times, I'll do something for my wife, and she'll say, thank you. And I say, you're welcome. And vice versa. When she does something for me, I say, thank you. I'm polite to her, and she's polite back. Now, you take away politeness, and what do you have? You have rudeness. You take away consideration, what do you have? Self-centeredness. You know, if you look at the negatives of all these things, it doesn't build up the relationship. It tears it down. So that's why these things, see, these six things, no, those are just six things that we talked about. And there's a lot to talk about. If we were to look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, I know the kids could probably come up here and sing a song. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. And there's a reason I'm going to Galatians, because we're going to look at another passage of Scripture. And that's what it's all about. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, King James. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. NIV. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So if I were to ask you today, if your spouse was to rate you on the fruit of the Spirit, how you show and manifest the fruit of the Spirit toward her, on a scale of 1 to 10, please don't shout out answers, where do you think you'd be rated? In other words, if the husband went to the wife and said, hey, rate me on the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 22, and how I produce that fruit towards you, and she gives you a 3, it's like, oh, boy, I need to work on that. But it might not be, I need to work on it. What do you mean, only a 3? What kind of person are you to say that about me? You see, there's different ways to respond. And vice versa, if the husbands go to the wife. So, in regards to love, this unconditional love that we talked about, there's something else that we have talked about. And you say, Bob, you've talked about that. Yes, I have talked about it, and I will continue to talk about it, because it's crucial. There's a crucial point. There's crucial ingredients to a marriage that is the core. If you don't have that and build upon the core, then your relationship is almost, and maybe even nothing. Now, I've told you this before, and I'm going to, before I hit that core, I'm going to tell you this. I told you at the beginning of this series that my relationship with my wife at one point was a 1 headed to 0. And that was my fault, not hers. And by the grace of God, it didn't go to 0, because 0 would have meant we'd no longer be together. I made a choice in my marriage relationship because I got hurt by some things that were said. I made a choice. I will no longer show you love. I will no longer love you. That is contrary to the Word of God. Now, no wonder my relationship was headed to 0, because I chose to disobey God. I chose to not be the man of God God wanted me to be. I purposely chose that decision. And I can tell you this, when you choose not to love your spouse, the end result is going to be a 0. Unless God miraculously intervenes, which He did in our lives. And I tell you that so that you will choose to love regardless of what is said and what is done. Choose. Love is a choice. Love is not something you fall into and I fall out of it and I fall into it and I fall out of it. Love is a decision, a conscious, cognizant decision of the heart and of the mind before God. God says, when you're married, you choose to love that person. You must, as a husband, love that wife. But you know, something that isn't touched on much, and I know I did touch on it, but I'm going to touch on it a little bit for a moment from a more, what I think is a more powerful point of view. We hear often that the husband is to show unconditional love to his wife. And we hear that the wife is to reverence her husband or respect her husband. And this is what I want to present. Just for a moment. This is not the main thrust of my message, but this is the core of a marriage relationship. A man must unconditionally love his wife, whether he feels like it or not. Whether she is doing everything he wants her to do or not. Whether she is responding to him or not in the ways that he wants her to. He must unconditionally, without conditions, that means, without any conditions. God says, husbands, love your wives. Agape love. Unconditional love. Now, what if God put conditions on our love and said, you know, I love you as long as you do what I say. I love you, even though I sent Jesus Christ, my son, to die for you. I love you, but only if you're good. Only if you satisfy me. Wouldn't be unconditional, would it? Now, here's where I'm going with this. Something that probably we haven't heard before. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. Wives, unconditionally reverence your husband. Unconditional. That's the core of a marriage relationship. A man unconditionally loves his wife. A woman unconditionally loves her husband. But he doesn't deserve the respect. Why, he hasn't treated me right from day one. What does God say? Wives, unconditionally reverence, respect your husbands. He's not worthy of it. I'm choosing not to love him. Wives, unconditional respect, reverence your husband. You see, it's easy for us to sometimes say, it's his fault. And it's easy for us as men to say, the woman that thou gavest me, going right back to the beginning, to point the finger, when all the while, we should be looking within and saying, am I doing my responsibility according to the Word of God in my marriage relationship? Am I doing my part? You want to enjoy life with the husband or wife for all your days? Love her no matter what. Respect him no matter what. Okay. I'm going to read something that was in a book that I was reading. And it's this. Sometimes we can be right in what we say, but our presentation and actions or our tone of voice isn't correct. And so this is what a man said. When she, in regards to his wife, when she would criticize me, tension would rise up in me. And I would come across as blaming her or making excuses. I felt like I could never be good enough. Sometimes you can say what needs to be said in a wrong manner, at the wrong time, in a wrong tone of voice, demeaning, degrading. Now, I'm not saying that from this here we blame the wife. Don't get me wrong. The same thing is said about men, the husband. Sometimes we just say a word that absolutely is demeaning to them. It's absolutely degrading. That's not polite. That's not considerate. That's not forgiving. It doesn't show our commitment to love her no matter what. Another thought that was brought out in this book is this. And again, it's I talk a lot about husbands kind of putting more of the emphasis on there. Well, this book is, this chapter was dealing a little bit about how the husband feels. And he says, no husband feels affection toward a wife who appears to have contempt for her or for who he is as a human being. No husband feels affection towards a wife who appears to have contempt for who he is as a human being. You see, the man has an ego. You pull down that ego, you knock down that ego, you chip away at that ego, you destroy that ego. That can destroy a man. But you know what? Regardless, God's word stands true. Husband, you are to love your wife no matter what. There's a few verses I want to read before I go to 1 Corinthians 13. And these are found in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering into his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For if we also had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. Now, of course, this is referring to those in the wilderness, and the gospel was preached to them. We're not dealing with the gospel here, but we're applying these verses. And says, although they had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. That's a point I want to make there. You know, we can stand up here and preach the Word of God, preach what we believe God wants us to say, but if you personally don't receive it, if God is tugging at your heart and you say, and the Spirit of God is saying, look, you need to listen to this. This needs to be applied to you. And you're saying, no, it needs to be applied to her. Or she's saying, no, this needs to be applied to him. And the message isn't being received. It's of no value. And if it's of no value, it's a waste of time. Now, I'm counting on God. And I'm sure brothers that stand up here and preach the Word and teach the Word do what I do. Lord, let them hear your voice through me. I don't want you to hear me. Let them hear you. And let the people that need to hear it be here. And if they don't need it, if they're not here, that's up to you, Lord. But you have to receive the Word of God if it's going to be of any value. I want to look at Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Our thoughts and our attitudes of our heart are open before the Lord. Man looks on the outward. And you know, it's easy for us as husbands and wives to say, oh yeah, things are wonderful, or things are good, or things are okay. And all the while on the inside, we're ready to burst. Or, I really never meant to say those things toward my wife. And yet, all the while, God looks at your heart and says, oh boy, you did mean to say those things. I'm judging your thoughts and your intentions, your motives and your words. I'm judging your actions because I can see into the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There is nothing we can hide from God. nothing. Sometimes we deceive ourselves by saying, oh, I'm not that bad. I didn't really mean those things. I know I said that, but that's really not what I meant. I know I degraded you and I said things I should never have said, but you took it the wrong way. You know, we excuse ourselves. God lays open the heart and says, oh, what a liar. You did mean those things. I want to read Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10. And again, he's talking about those in regards to unbelief during the testing time in the desert. And in verse 10, he says, that is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray. It's a heart issue. Do you have marriage problems? It's a heart issue. You got problems in your relationship. You got problems that you're having a hard time dealing with it. With there's two hearts involved here. The husband and the wife. So if you look within and judge yourself, God won't have to judge you. If I look within, now don't get me wrong. Sometimes, in fact, somebody made a comment. I know it was just a bit of a joke, but they said, how does it feel to have the perfect marriage? Because you're up there preaching about it all the time. I don't have a perfect marriage. It's far from perfect. But I want to tell you, it's great. Hallelujah. And it's enjoyable. Amen. And do I upset my wife? Yes, I do. Does she upset me? Yes, I do. Or yes, she does. I don't upset myself. Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes I could kick myself. And I'll give you an example. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm just going to jump to something just to give you that example, and then we can come back. I had it in here somewhere. Okay. First Corinthians 13, let's look at verse 9 and 10 for a minute. I'm going to give you an example of how I don't have a perfect relationship. And you don't need to know all the details, even though I might give them to you. Verses 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, that's not the right verse. I have things numbered, and that's why I thought that was the verse, but it's not. Here it is here. Let's start at verse 4, okay? Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps, and this is where I was, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Okay, so it keeps no record of wrongs, and it does not delight in evil. So, I don't know if it was last week or week before, my wife said something to me that she didn't realize really hurt me. Really. Just cut deep. I don't think she meant for it to, but... And you know what happened? Now, I love my wife a lot, but at that moment, I was upset and hurt. And so for the next 10 or 15 minutes, I thought to myself, she's saying that about me, huh? I don't agree with it. I think she's wrong. This is what I'm saying to myself now. Well, she does this. I've never called her on a carpet for it. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
And she does this. This really aggravates. Sugar bowl lid's always off. She can't put the lid back on. And some of those drawers and cupboard doors, well, she leaves them open all the time. I'm constantly shutting them. It just irritates me. Doesn't she realize how much this irritates me? And there were some other things, and I just started making this list in my head for about 10 or 15 minutes, and yeah, well, I got some stuff I could say to her. And it hit me. That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil is trying to do. Put a wedge in there. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. I've lived with these things for years and not been so upset about them. They're just little things that you handle in life. I love my wife. I'm saying these things before the Lord to myself. I love my wife. Lord, she's a gift from God. I appreciate her and I appreciate everything she does. She's an amazing woman. She's amazing. I'm going to forget about that stuff because all I was doing was trying to get back at her. And I said, Lord, please forgive me for thinking those things. And I cast them off to the side until I could write them down and tell you folks about it. But it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. I love my wife. Why would I start thinking all these negative things? Because that's what the devil wants. He gets that wedge in there. He shoots those little darts in. Well, she said this about you, so you need to retaliate and get back. It might just hurt a little bit, but don't worry. You can get even with her. That's wrong. God called me up on the carpet. I believe it was the Holy Spirit of God, St. Bob. To me, she's the most amazing woman in the world. Why are you talking about her like that? Why are you even thinking these things? And I didn't even realize at the time why I was thinking those things. But I can look back on it now and say, hey, the devil was just trying to get a wedge in our relationship. I thank God that the Spirit of God was able to teach me that what I was thinking was wrong. So, do I have a perfect relationship with my wife? No. It's a constant effort. It's a constant work. Let's look, you know what, rather than looking at 1 Corinthians 13, which all these things led up to it, I have something else that I've written down here. And you know, if you can receive, if any of us can receive these things, may God be glorified. This is a note of confession from a failing husband to a wife. I have not loved you as Christ loves the church. I am to live with you in a gentle and humble way, and I have not. I have loved myself and my own desires more than I have loved you or even loved God. I have made my job, my interests, my hobbies, my house, and other things, my love, and it's turned into an idol. I have given myself to them. I have neglected you and broken my word again and again. I have not kept my marriage vows, but I am beginning to understand the hurt and disappointment I have caused you and the family, and why you feel like you do, and why you can never be happy with me or trust me. I have wronged you in so many ways. Please forgive me and please help me. That's the beginning of reconciliation in a marriage. You know, sometimes us men really stink at being good husbands. But we can learn. We have the Word of God to teach us. We have people that can mentor us. People we can look up to. Relationships that we can admire. Marriage can be one of the most beautiful relationships in all the world next to your salvation.
Here's a note from the wife. Thank you, I accept your confession. I had to throw a little humor in there. I don't have a note from a wife. I'm not a woman. I can guess. I could say things. But you know, even the things that were said in this confession of a husband to his wife could be turned around if the wife is not the wife that she should be. So the question comes. I have lots of questions. I only accept questions. Are you in a happy marriage relationship? Now, some of you will say, it's great. Some of you will say, it's been pretty good. Some of you will say, it's okay. Some of you will say, it could be better. Some of you will say, no, I'm not. I'm not in a happy marriage relationship. Sometimes I just want out. Would you like to have a happy, wonderful marriage relationship? Would you like to? I don't know if I can, I don't know. For somebody that's down at the bottom, where my wife and I were, you seriously say, I don't know. I don't know if I want to make this better. Maybe I just want out. Divorce should never be an option. God hates divorce. That being said, sometimes when we're down, we don't care what God says. We want what we want, and that's all we want. And you know what? We're wrong. We're away from God. We need to be restored. We need to be reconciled to God first and to our spouse second. Because God has given you that spouse to spend all your life with. God has given you that spouse to have a happy marriage, blessed relationship, a happy home, a happy family, happy children, because your children can see the love and the respect that you have for one another through the politeness and the consideration and the forgiveness and the commitment and those things that my wife and I were talking about last night and this morning. So, you're at the bottom. Here's what you need to do. Change. Man, I was hoping you wouldn't say that. Well, you're right, Ashley. She does need to change. Or from the other perspective, you're right. He really needs to change. Are you doing your part? Are you unconditionally loving your wife? A wife, are you unconditionally showing respect to your husband? No. No, I don't intend to. Can't get there. Don't want to be there. Don't want to be here. You have to want to change and ask God's help. Now, there's brothers and sisters here that can give you advice. There's brothers and sisters here that can direct you in the right way. There's brothers and sisters here that would love to be a help to you and build up that marriage relationship. But if you don't want to change, if you don't want to make an effort, if you don't want a happy relationship, you don't want what God wants, we can't do it. But God can. And so he needs to change the heart. That's where we started, the heart. It's a heart problem. Would you like to change? Would you like to see a change in your relationship? And listen to what God is saying from his word. It's full. I'm just shocked that every time I turn around, it's like, yeah, a lot of these things are not necessarily applied directly to the marriage relationship. Like 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. And you say to yourself, well, I don't even know how to love. Well, then read 1 Corinthians 13. Don't just read it. Study it. Examine it. Find out what God wants. That's what I was going to do here today. Didn't happen. Doesn't mean it won't in the next session. Doesn't mean sometimes I probably bore you to death. Some of you go to sleep and it's hard when you have a snack before you come here, and it's hot in here. Actually, I'm starting to sweat, and I'm not sure if it's from temperature or just nervousness. But you've got to want to change. If you want change, and there's a brother or sister here that you have confidence in to go to help you change, then go to that person. If you don't feel confident in reaching out to any human being, then you go to God. And God will bless you. God will give you a happy relationship with your spouse. God will. Because that's what he wants and that's what he intended. Seek the will of God. Not just for where do we live? What job am I going to do? How many kids should we have? What should we name them? What are we going to teach them? What are we going to do when we're old? What kind of ministry should we do? How does God want to use us? You know, those are all wonderful things. But if you're in a marriage relationship, the first thing you need to do is make sure your relationship with God is right. And secondly, you need to make sure your relationship with your spouse is right. Every one of us. Now, how can I express this? Like I'm not creating happiness here. I want everyone to be happy in the Lord. That's my intention. And do I come across intensely? Sometimes I wish I didn't. Like I have all kinds of different examples I was going to bring out today and everything, and for some reason I just don't ever seem to get right there, you know? But if you've heard God's voice, please, don't say, Bob said this. Bob said that. I don't want to hear that. I want you to say, I heard God speaking to me in this voice. I heard God's voice today. Boy, I never heard it that way before. It has to be from God. That's what's important. It's not the guy standing up here. I got my own problems. You say you do? Well, yeah. I got tons of them. But I do have a wonderful marriage relationship. And that's what God wants, and that's what we want, and that's what I want for you. Will you seek it? Will you look for it? Will you change and find it? Pursue it with all you've got. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're a God who knows about how many hairs we have on our head. You know all the thoughts and the intents of our heart. You know whether or not we're a good husband or a good wife or a good father or a good mother or a good Sunday school teacher. You know everything. There's nothing that isn't open before your eyes. And we are thankful that we have a God who is all-knowing. But not just all-knowing, but all-powerful. And we're thankful that you are a God who can change us, who can change me to be the man that you want him to be. And that you can change each and every man here. We think of your word and how it says that the Lord Jesus Christ was reverently submissive to you, obedient to the length of death itself. Father, help us to be obedient children. Help us to obey your word. Help us that we will trust you and rely upon you exclusively, and that you will guide us and lead us so that our homes will be happy homes. We ask your help and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.